And the title for this evening's message is Walking Worthy with Christ, Walking Worthy with our Lord Jesus. All right, so Colossians chapter 4, and I'll read for us just verses 2 through to 6. Devote yourselves to prayer and stay alert in it with thanksgiving, and at the same time pray also for us that God would open a door for us for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains, so that I may make it known as I should. Act wisely towards outsiders, making the most of the time, and let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Now, as Paul now begins to wrap up his letter to the church at Colossae, he now points him to one of the most important, and dare I say, yet probably one of the most neglected spiritual disciplines for the disciple, and that is prayer. And God's people are meant to be a people of prayer. And now Paul, being led by the Spirit, he's been divinely inspired, obviously, to reveal just who our Lord Jesus is. And we know he has taken us to the heights of the preeminence of who our Lord Jesus Christ is. And he has also shown us this glorious gift of salvation that our Lord Jesus has gifted us with. And so Jesus is our creator. He is the creator of all. He is also the sustainer of all, the most preeminent one in all of creation. Yet he is also the one who was willing to give of himself so that we could once again enjoy fellowship with our God and with our Creator. We see that in the opening verses of Paul's letter in verse 21. You who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he, our Lord Jesus, has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. Did I read that correctly? So he, our Lord Jesus, has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless above reproach before him. And so our prayer lives are born out of and are consistently motivated by Jesus' generous gift of salvation towards us, him giving his life and making us his own. And so prayer is our humble and ongoing response to God's unmerited favor towards us. Again, back to chapter 1 and verse 9. And so from the first day that we have heard, we haven't ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Our life of prayer is motivated because of what our Lord Jesus has done for us. And so the redeemed sinner's greatest desire is to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. We want to. He has done so much for us. And so we want to walk hand in hand with him. And so we want to put our old ways to death. We want to renew our minds. And we want to look more and more like our Christ, Lord Jesus, and less like our old selves. And so there is now this new desire in our hearts to magnify and glorify Christ because of all of what he has done for us. But now, as we know, we can't do this in our own strength. And we see in the way in which Paul has called the Colossian church to respond to our Lord Jesus. You know, seeking and setting our minds on the things that are above, putting to death that which is earthly in us, the sexual immorality, impurity, passions, evil desires, and covetousness, idolatry, anger, wrath, slander, malice, and obscene talk, not lying to one another. And when we look at all of this and we say, I cannot actually be victorious in all of this if I'm not seeking God's help and his enabling. I cannot do this unless the Lord helps me, unless he is the one who empowers me, unless he is the one that gives me the strength that I need. And this is why prayer is so vital to the spiritual growth of the believer. Because without prayer, we are not showing our dependence on God. We need to come to him. And prayer is a reflection of that. I'm coming to him and I'm showing my dependence in him. I need the Lord to help me. So I need to show my dependence. And also, if I'm not spending time with God in prayer, then I'm not cultivating or nurturing my relationship with Him. And so our passage this evening is a challenge to us in what does my prayer life look like? And so our first point for this evening is walking in prayer. And this is just going to be our simple flow for this evening. Walking in prayer and walking in wisdom. And so for us to be a people of prayer, and for us to be a people that the Lord has called us to, and for us to walk in a manner worthy of our calling, as I've said, prayer needs to be an important part of our lives. And I guess the first question that we need to answer is, what is prayer? What is prayer? And if we had to come up with the most basic understanding of what prayer is, it would mainly mean our coming to God and asking Him for things. And obviously these are not the things that would satisfy our earthly or our fleshly desires, but rather the things that we need the most. And what is it that we need the most? And it is God Himself. And so we need to know more of Him so we can learn to trust in Him more, to love Him more, to obey Him more, to fear Him more. And sure, there is more to prayer than just asking God for our needs. Yes, like confessing our sins and offering up our thanks to Him and as well as our praises towards Him. But if we really had to narrow down what prayer is, it is just simply coming to God and coming to Him with our requests. Paul says in Philippians 4 and verse 6, "The Lord is near. Don't be anxious about anything. Instead, in every situation, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, tell your requests to God." Come with Him with your requests. Let your requests be known to God. And then the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And so prayer is coming to God with a humble and a dependent attitude, where we are asking for more of Him and more of His help. And then knowing and believing that He is going to answer in the best way possible for our good and for His glory. And that is why in our verses 4 tonight, Paul says in verse 2 there, be devoted in prayer. Be devoted to prayer. And basically the literal there is continue steadfastly. Continue, be devoted to prayer. And Jesus gives His own disciples the same instruction. Back in Luke chapter 18 and verse 1, then Jesus told them a parable to show them that they should always pray and not lose heart. Always pray. And basically, you should be praying at all times. And don't lose heart. And so don't quit. Don't lose heart. Be devoted and continue steadfastly. And these verses are meant to be an encouragement, not an indictment. And the reason why I say that, because most of us do battle. Or we'll have our moments when we battle to remain consistent in our prayer lives. And that's because we are prone to wander. We are vulnerable to becoming weary. We are easily distracted. And we are so inclined to stray and to go our own way. And so when we hear a verse like this, we're like, man, I'm battling just to get my daily reading in. Hey? And maybe just with a little bit of prayer. And that's even if I get to remember to pray afterwards because I'm in such a rush. And I'm called to pray continuously. Man, I'm way off the mark. And this might be true for many a believer. But that is why there is this command. And Paul is saying, really, don't be overwhelmed. Don't be overcome with guilt. Don't give up. And so this is a call to get back on track. It is a reminder of this wonderful privilege that we have. That we can come into God the Father's presence and He's always willing to hear our prayers. And we have our Lord Jesus Christ who is always interceding for us. He was also indwelt by the Holy Spirit who empowers and He leads us, convicts us, challenges us. We're never alone. And even though prayer is a privilege, I guess the reality is that it's also very demanding. It's taxing. You know, where we are called day after day, week after week, year after year. In fact, moment by moment, we are to continue in prayer. To show our dependence in our God. And Paul also instructed the Thessalonian church And he tells them, pray without ceasing. And that's in chapter 5, verse 17 of his first letter. Pray without ceasing. And this gives the idea of a full and a continuous communication with God. This makes us ask the question, is this even possible for me to pray continuously in all circumstances, all the time? And if so, you know, what does this type of prayer life look like? Well, I don't think Paul is calling us to be people who are having our eyes closed continuously. And where we are having this audible dialogue with our invisible God. Yeah, could you imagine if that was the case? You know, we have this slow, audible praying and muttering. And people think that we are crazy, you know? Didn't Samuel, no, it wasn't Samuel, it was, who was it? Eli thought that Samuel's mother was nuts because she would just sit there and pray audibly but slowly. Thought that she was drunk, you know? But I don't think this is what Paul has got in mind here, where we are this constant mumble going on in everything that we are doing. You know, nor I don't think he means that we are locked behind closed doors. Yeah, we might be then devoted to prayer, yet completely disconnected from society, from life, from our family. And I believe what Paul has in mind here is that the believer has a heart that is engaged and connected with God during all the circumstances and as well as the conversations of the day. It is this ongoing internal communication with God as we seek his will and as well as his enabling through the day. Whatever I might be engaged in, I'm very mindful of my invisible God. He's always there. And I'm engaging him in these circumstances. Colossians 3:16. You know, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Allow it to teach you and exhort you. And that's happening through all the frustrations of the day. Those moments when you're becoming impatient, God is teaching you. When you're dealing with a difficult person, God is teaching you. When you're having those moments of joy in your life, God's still teaching you. And it's all those moments in which we are then communicating with God. So let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and exhorting one another with all wisdom and singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with all grace in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And it just shows you how mindful that we actually need to be of God's presence through the day. And I believe, yeah, this being engaging in prayer is just actually acknowledging everything that I'm doing it for the Lord. Whatever work I might do, I might be a butcher. I'm a butcher for the Lord. You know, I'm working down in Marisburg at, what's the place again? You know, we work for the Lord wherever we might be. I'm a student for the Lord. I'm a nurse for the Lord. I do it for him in all circumstances. And even goes back to verses 5 and 7, 5 through to 7 of chapter 3. You know, when I'm being tempted to either mentally entertain or to physically engage with something that is sinful. You know, it can be any of those things that Paul mentions there, you know, from sexual immorality to coveting to becoming angry or wanting to lie. You know, when these sinful desires come along and they are tempting us. And when we are experiencing the conviction of the Holy Spirit and we know how God would want us to respond in such moments, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? You can either commune with God. You can come to him in prayer and plead with him for his power and strength to help you to walk worthy. Or you can choose to suppress the truth and listen to your old sinful desires and willfully stray down paths you know that you shouldn't go down. We have these options. And do we want to honor and glorify the Lord? Are we going to come to him in prayer? You know, there's that passage in Proverbs, and it just speaks just so vividly to the way in which temptation comes into our lives. Proverbs chapter 7, and just reading from verse 6 through to 15. At the window of my house, I looked through the lattice and I saw among the inexperienced, I noticed among the youths, a young man lacking sense. And that's what sin is. Sin is insanity. But listening to the Lord is sanity. But a young man lacking sense, crossing the street near her corner, he strolled down the road to her house. At twilight in the evening, in the dark of the night, a woman came to meet him, dressed like a prostitute, having a hidden agenda. She is loud and defiant. Her feet do not stay at home. Now in the street, now in the square, she lurks at every corner. She grabs him and kisses him. She brazenly says to him, "I've made fellowship offerings. Today I fulfilled my vows. So I come out to meet you, to search for you, and I have found you." You know, sin will seek us out. And if we are not careful, you know, even our own deceitful hearts will lead us astray. And so that is why in the next part, Paul there says in regards to prayer, he says we need to be watchful, we need to be alert to what is going on around us. We need to be alert in prayer. Be devoted to prayer, continue steadfastly, keeping alert, being watchful in it. Again, this is the very thing that Jesus told his disciples. In Matthew 26, in verse 38, this is when he is talking to them in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he says, "My soul is deeply grieved, even to the point of death. Remain here and stay awake with me." Stay alert. And also a little on, he says, then he came to his disciples and he found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So couldn't you stay awake? Couldn't you be alert with me for 1 hour? Stay awake and pray that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." And we can understand both Jesus' command to his disciples and Paul's command to the Colossians in two ways. And I think both are probably intended. And that is, firstly, when you have your times of intentional prayer, and we do need to have those times of intentional prayer, don't save it for when you're tired. You know, when you are drained at the end of a very taxing day, sure, you can have yourself some brief prayer. You know, also don't save your times of intimate prayer for when you wake up tired. And here too, sometimes we have this habit of staying up so late and watching that next whole lot of series where we are binge watching. And what happens? We wake up tired. You see, if you want to have times of meaningful prayer, you need to be awake. You must be awake. You need to be able to concentrate, to give your attention to God and to his word. You need to have time to ponder, to meditate, to chew on the truths of God's word. And then to think intentionally and specifically how God is encouraging you. How he's specifically also maybe challenging you. How he wants to equip you. How he's feeding you and calling you to change. And also, just as a buyer, you know, when you're tired, you know, don't stay up late, especially if you're on your phone or on your laptop, because then your inhibitions drop. Your ability to resist temptation becomes also weaker. And it also then makes you more susceptible, and it is then easier for you to fall into temptation. When you're tired, go to sleep. Don't give the devil an opportunity. When you're tired, go and sleep. And then wake up fresh to start the day with a heart and a mind and a body that is rested. And then also you are far more ready to receive from the Lord. And when Paul calls them to be alert, he's also wanting them to be aware of whose presence they are in. That you're in the presence of your Heavenly Father. And even though he welcomes and desires us to spend time with him, we need to be respectful children who are awake and appreciate and enjoy being in his presence. How often are we tired? Yeah. Like you have any conversation with somebody and you are yawning. What's that say? It's just like, I'm not engaging with you. I'm not there with you. Maybe I'm finding you boring. It's just, I'm actually not giving myself to you. It's actually a bit of an insult, isn't it? It's like, ooh. I won't say who, but there's somebody that I'm married to who actually fell asleep. And As I came, I think we just had grace, and it was a bell, and like exceptionally tired, and like we were visiting people, and Kath like just fell asleep on the couch, and like she's talking to Debs, and Debs is like, "Are you like falling asleep on me?" And it's like we have those moments, and it's like, how often are we falling asleep on God? He wants our attention. He deserves our attention. Sorry, love, to throw you under the bus. But she loves me. She has to forgive me. But secondly, also, when Paul calls them to pray and to be alert, he's wanting them to be awake and aware and be vigilant to what is going on around them spiritually. You know, sin is sneaky. It's subtle. It's charming. It's seductive. And it is enticing. Just like we saw there in Proverbs. And because of this, the believer needs to be alert to the traps and the pitfalls of sin. Because our fight, yes, it's not against flesh and blood. And we need to be aware of the spiritual battle going on around us. And because of this, we need to have all of our faculties available to us. This is what Paul is talking about in Ephesians 6. Hey, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. How can you be strong if you're half asleep all the time? Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Once again, we can't do things in our own strength. Put on the whole armor of God, something that you must do, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Standing therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes and for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And once again, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance. We need to wake up. We need to be alert. Not only alert to the sin around us, but being alert to the Lord and him wanting to use us in such mighty ways. So we need to guard our hearts and our minds, but not being intoxicated with the sinful things of this world, or by being distracted by the desires of the flesh, or by being blinded by the cravings of self-indulgence. Instead, we need to fight for watchfulness, for that alertness, to always be ready, ready to pray, so that we will not be caught off guard. Peter also echoes these same words in his letter, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Be sober-minded. Be awake. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him firm in your faith. Be awake. Carrying on, Paul wants the Colossians to pray continuously, be steadfast, being watchful and alert, but also to be filled with thanksgiving. And there is so much to be thankful for. Is there not? You know, just a quick glance over this letter should fill the heart of the believer with endless reasons to give Christ praise. You know, just some key words as you look through: qualified, delivered, transferred, redeemed, forgiven, transformed, reconciled, at peace, declared holy, blameless, above reproach, given hope, chosen, indwelt, loved, assured, gifted with knowledge and wisdom, buried but made alive, acquitted, raised, given life, purpose. And it just goes on and on and on. Many things to be giving thanks for. Much to be thankful for. So the question that comes to us is what are you thankful for? You know, as you recall your times of prayer, you know, what are the overflows of your heart, the things that you praise God for? The things that permeate your prayers with ongoing thankfulness. And there's a beautiful imagery from Psalm 116 there. He says there in verse 12, you know, how can I pray? How can I repay the Lord for all of his acts of kindness to me? How can I? I cannot. But you know what I will do? I will celebrate my deliverance. I will hold up my cup of salvation. I will lift it up. And I'll call on the name of the Lord. I'll fulfill my vows to the Lord before all of his people. The Lord values the lives of his faithful followers. Yes, Lord, I am indeed your servant. That's who I am. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. I am lowly. You saved me from death. And I'll present a thank offering to you and call on the name of the Lord. Pray. I'll fulfill my vows to the Lord before all of his people in the courts of the Lord's temple. And so the imagery is of us holding up our cup, the cup of our salvation that God has filled. In fact, it is overflowing with his blessings towards us. It is never empty, never running dry, but always overflowing with God's faithfulness towards us. Because our God is a giving God. He never stops giving. When you woke up this morning, giving, giving, giving. When you sleep at night, giving. And how often do we go back to Romans 8? 32, if God is for us, who can be against us? Indeed, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how else will he not also along with him freely give us all things? A giving God. Unending. And so just as a child comes to its parent and asks them to fill their cup when they are thirsty, so we are to come to our God with our cup, and he will fill it to overflow. Jesus says in John 7, you know, on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and he cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And I say this about the Spirit whom those who believe in him were to receive. We have a generous prayer, hearing, and answering God. You're always giving what is beneficial to us, lavishing us with everything that we need to live a life worthy of his calling. Ephesians 1, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us. God owes us nothing. Yet he still chooses to lavish upon us blessing after blessing, giving us all things. And so we are the ones who owe him everything. So what are the things that you are thankful for? As Paul writes this letter, where is he? The dude's in prison. He's under house arrest, you know, chained to a Roman guard 24/7. Yet despite his difficult circumstances and the limitations that he faces, Paul's desire was for the gospel to go out, the good news, and for God to use him in whatever way God deemed best. And so he asks them, the Colossians, to pray for him. He says there in verse 3, at the same time, pray for us too, that God may open the door for the message, that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I might make it known as I should. Yeah, I don't know about you, but I don't think I would have been as brave enough to hang around Paul. Eh? This was a guy, now I'm speaking humanly, that he was a magnet for trouble. Eh? Beatings, stonings, whippings, imprisonments, shipwrecks, assassination attempts, let alone all the other personal struggles that this guy went through. But here is a man that is sold out for Jesus. Someone who has denied himself. He's picked up his cross and he is following Jesus. And his request for prayer is that God would continue to keep him faithful. That's his greatest desire, to stay faithful to the end. And also that God would provide a way, open the door for him to share the gospel. You know, Paul knows that even though he is chained, there is nothing that can restrain the liberating power of the gospel. And the irony is that his preaching of the gospel led to his arrest. Yet despite this outcome, It doesn't deter him from pursuing what he had been called to do. This was his worthy walk. You know, nor was he tempted down to water down the demands of the gospel. No seeker friendly, no making it more palatable, preaching it, the truth, because it is the truth that sets you free. And the reality is the gospel is offensive because it challenges us at our heart. Because we are sinful and we love our sin. And sometimes even when a fellow brother will come and challenge us about our sin, man, it hits hard. But this is the reality of the gospel. Because it brings truth and it brings liberation. It brings glory. It brings life. So Paul was willing to face and endure everything for the Lord. And that is why he asks for prayer. Because he cannot do this in his own strength, nor does he want to do it for his own glory. He only wants to be faithful and useful to Christ. And so my prayer, well, not my prayer, my ask is will you pray for us? Will you pray for us as a family, but especially for myself as a pastor and a preacher? That Paul, just as he asked, let me preach the gospel as it should. To glorify Christ, not to fear man. But that Christ might be honored and glorified. And our second and final point, and it is a brief one, so don't worry. Walking in wisdom. In verses 5 and 6, walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the best use of time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. And this is the way that Paul had started his letter to them, praying that God would give them the wisdom that they needed. There, verse 9 again. From the day we heard it, we have not stopped to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. And the Bible is saturated with wisdom. God's revealed truth to us. And true wisdom is a God-given and also a God-centered discernment on how we are to live within all the circumstances of our life. And wisdom is not only knowing only how God would have us respond. True wisdom is actually responding how God would have us respond. That's real wisdom. Taking God at his word. Now Paul wants the Colossians to use their time wisely to make the most of every opportunity that comes their way. And also that they need to manifest both a powerful and attractive testimony of who Christ is. Especially amongst the people that they live. Are you a fantastic advert for Jesus? And the thing is, though, he can use you. He can. No matter who you are, if you are sold out for Jesus, he can use you. You see, we often forget this massive privilege that we have, as Paul says in his letter to the Corinthians, in his second letter in chapter 5. He says, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting people's trespasses against them. And he, Jesus, has given us the message of reconciliation. This is you if you are a believer. Therefore, we are ambassadors of Christ, as though God were making his plea, his invitation, his imploring, his begging through us. So we plead with you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us, so that in him we would become the righteousness of God. Walk in wisdom, and in so you are an ambassador for Christ. God himself is pleading to the unbeliever through you. And that's a strong word, pleading, begging them to come to him. So we need to pray that God would not only give us the wisdom that we need and the words to say, but also the grace and the kindness that we need when we engage with the people around us, so as to make Jesus great. That they might see him in us. So this means that God wants to use you with your unique personality and gifts wherever he has placed you to be his ambassador. To tell people about the grace of Christ. Use words that are seasoned with salt. And this means that Jesus isn't bland or boring or insipid or uninterested in boring. This is not the life of a believer. We live an exciting life. We should be. Woe to us if we are a bland ambassador. You don't want to be that cold porridge. You know, the one that's not salted. The gospel is good news. And Jesus' followers have been wholly affected by this good news. Full of it. And so my prayer for you, my final plea for you, is that Christ and his word would dwell in you richly. Let it permeate your life. Let the Lord Jesus be preeminent in you. Let him be number one. Let him be. So that you can be his wonderful ambassador, sharing him wherever you go for his praise and for his glory. Eh? That's what it's about all at the end of the day. Everything for his praise and for his glory. Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you for our many times in our Sunday evenings where we've had the privilege of opening and sharing your word together. Oh, Lord Jesus, may you be number one in our lives. May you be the one that shapes our heart, redirects our desires. Lord, shape our will to glorify yours. And Lord, my plea is that you would continue to shepherd the flock. Lord, that you would feed your sheep. Lord, that you would send a shepherd for your people. Lord, I pray that you would be with John and the rest of the team. Lord, that you would strengthen them, give them not only the perseverance that they need, but the strength. And Lord, we know the demands of ministry, and we know how weary we ourselves are, but we can do nothing in our own strength. And so, Lord, we rely on you. And Lord, this is your church. You have redeemed it with your blood. And so you will take care, you will provide, and you will sustain, all to your glory. And in your name we pray. Amen.